Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Conor Pope joins us now, pricewatch@rte.ie, if you want Conor to grapple with any consumer issues. How are you doing, Conor?
Hi, Ray. How are you getting on?
I read your article yesterday, which I enjoyed, and you were asking the question, what things from lockdown will stay with us forever? So pick out your top three things. Well, the money ones are the important ones, I think. That we're gone very cashless, aren't we, if that's a way of saying things?
Oh, absolutely. Funnily enough, one of the very last articles I wrote before the world went completely crazy last year was about how we are moving very, very slowly towards a cashless society. Now, other countries are miles and miles and miles ahead of us, but the reality is that we are kind of the laggards in Europe. But it's all changing now, and we are dramatically hurtling towards a cashless society. Between the use of, and the, you know, the use of ATMs to take out cash has fallen by 44% in the first quarter of this year. Contactless payments have jumped by 12%, and people are using their phones to pay more. And I think we would seriously, within the next 5 or 10 years, people probably will barely ever see coins or notes again. It's just going to disappear entirely. And you know, I won't miss it. I tell you people who will
delivery men, people, unfortunately, and it shouldn't be the case, but people who are sitting on the side of the road in our cities and towns around the country looking for money to buy a cup of tea or to pay for a hostel, they're going to miss it.
Yeah, and actually, I think that's going to change. I think society will adapt, because I mean, we can't just leave behind the poor, unfortunate people who sometimes through no fault of their own who find themselves in those circumstances where they have to look for handouts. And similarly, you know, the delivery guys and all those people who like kind of sort of, you know, get by on their tips. A lot of time they're paid minimum wage, so there is going to be a ways around that. I mean, an awful lot of people have a smartphone, and for instance, you'll just be able to transfer a euro or 50 cent or 2 euros to somebody via a smartphone, and that'll be what people do, because I don't think people's generosity and their determination to share what they have with other people is just going to disappear. But you know, we don't necessarily need to have physical notes and coins to do that. It will take a period of adjustment. And remember, for instance, when they got rid of the coppers, like the 1 cent and 2 cent coins, the collection boxes and shops, you know, they really suffered because people suddenly didn't have any loose change to get rid of. But you know, I think there will be other ways that we can give, and I just think it requires a little bit of imagination on the broader society for that to happen.
So do you think we're going to have a situation, it probably exists already and I'm just slow to the party, where I can just touch my phone to your phone and, you know, transfer money.
You're so slow to that party now, Ray.
No, I know Revolut. I know I use Revolut with my daughter. But
yeah, no, actually, Revolut is the one. I mean,
Revolut the one,
and
yes.
N26. But all of the banks, all of the fintech companies are going to be racing towards that. And effectively now you can transfer cash to somebody instant, in real time, by pressing a few buttons on your phone. And that's the way things are going to go, because, you know, the idea that you have to wait 3 working days or 7 working days for the money to go from my account to your account, when it's all happening through the push of one single button in a digital world, it's nonsense.
Can I ask you a question? This is a serious question, right? So I live in a world where last week, right, my app, I'm not going to say the name of the bank, my app froze me out. Right. And then I went online and to get online, because of extra security, they send a notification to the app in my phone. But I was frozen out of that. So as a result, I was frozen out of both my access points to my bank. Now, that's one
thing. Do you
know
what? That's a really good point.
No. And here's another thing then. Towards the end of the week. So I owed a friend money for something he'd done, and I was able to transfer Revolut instantly, as you say, with no questions asked. So I'm just wondering, is it a sort of a two-tier system where you have traditional banks who are sort of laden down and slowed down by, you know, security around money laundering, and then you have Revolut, who I can transfer money here, there, anywhere, no questions asked. All I need is a mobile phone number.
Well, actually, I think the world's changing, and I think the traditional banks are slowly catching up with the fintech companies like Revolut. And I think, but you are right. There is we do become entirely dependent on our phones. Like, I was in my local Tesco recently, and I realized I'd left my wallet at home, and I was going to pay with contactless on my phone. And just as I went to pay for my groceries, the battery on my phone died. I was like, well, what am I going to do now? So I had to say to them, it wasn't. I said, leave my shopping there. I'm just going to run out out to the car, charge the phone, and then come back in and pay. And you have no idea. You know they say about a watch kettle never boils.
Oh, yeah.
You have no idea how long it takes for your phone to charge when you've got your shopping in your local Tesco and you're waiting to pay for it. So we do become utterly dependent on technology.
Okay.
And you know, I think that's going to be something that we will struggle to get through it in the weeks, months, and years ahead. But the last thing me and you want to do now, Ray, sound like two old fellas talking about how technology is just too complicated to use.
No,
and wasn't it better in the good old days?
No, I'm just wish that the banks would hurry up. That, as you say, they're slow. Just hurry up. Okay, now here's the thing. This is a follow-on from last week and your top tips on how not to be scammed. I got a missed call from a UK number recently and I dialed it back. I was left holding while an automated message droned on about something for 5 minutes, then was disconnected. My bill has just arrived and I'm being charged over €10 for the call. I now think I was scammed, but I'm furious my phone operator is billing me for the scam. How can that be right? You have 3.5 minutes.
Okay, well, there's a couple of things. Yeah.
Two and a half minutes.
There's a couple of things happening here. A lot of your listeners will be familiar with the when you get a call from Sierra Leone or Cuba or wherever it might be, this long number, and you call it back, and then you get hooked into some kind of fraud. What's interesting about this one is it came from a UK-based number. Now, it's the same fraud, and it's known as Wangari fraud, and we've talked about it in the past, whereby what the scam artists are trying to do is they're trying to get you to call the number, and then you get rerouted to a premium rate number in another country, and then you have to pay the bill. And it's, as I say, it's very common, but what's more troubling is they are now using European numbers. Like, because when I get a call from Cuba or Sierra Leone, I don't know anybody in Cuba or Sierra Leone, so I'm not going to call that number back. And I'd be instinctively primed not to call that number back. But if you get a call from 0044, it's an entirely different story, because almost everyone in Ireland would have family, friends or contacts in the UK.
Yes.
So realistically, that call could be coming from that number. But the interesting thing is that who makes the money? Because if you call a premium rate number in the UK, does Three or Vodafone or Air or whoever it is make money from it? And does that mean that they're profiting from this scam? So I got in touch with a couple of the mobile phone operators, and that's actually not how it operates. Now, you are being billed for it, but the mobile phone operators in this country aren't making any cash from it.
None whatsoever.
What happens is
none whatsoever.
Well, they might be making a local charge, but basically there's these interconnect carriers, and these interconnect carriers are companies that link mobile phone networks in this country with the UK, with France, with Germany, with countries all over the world, and they are the ones that are actually making the money from the charge. So let's say if you get a phone bill, if you call one of these numbers and you get a €10 charge, your mobile phone operator in Ireland will have to give that €10 to the interconnector company, who will then forward it to another company in another country. And that's why it's so difficult to police it. Uh-huh. But it's not like Three or Virgin or whoever it is sitting there rubbing their hands with glee because they've made another few bob out of you of the scam call.
Can you reiterate, just to people again, that like that this person, and I'm sorry, it cost them a tenner, but it's a lesson well learned, because they shouldn't have dialed back. That's the message, really, isn't it?
Well, you know, absolutely, they shouldn't dial back. But I think it's important to point out that if it's from a number you are likely to recognise, so if it's from England or France or Spain or wherever you might have friends, the temptation is to call that number back.
Idea.
So it's just more, this is more to flag it with people and say, this is something that could happen from a country you're familiar with, not just the countries that are very, very far away and very remote to you.
Connor, thanks very much. Pricewatch@rte.ie if you want Connor to grapple with any of your consumer issues, and we'll talk to you next Monday. That's it from us. Cormac is on the way, and I don't know who he's with today. Samantha. Yeah, it's Cormac and Samantha on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.